going on.
Were your parents involved in?
During that time, most of our parents were afraid. Mm-hmm. And the rationale was that when their bosses learned that they were participating with the movement, then they were fired. So in many cases, the parents would encourage the children to go to the movement. And you had some, quite a few, like the ministers, who in that time it was no danger for many of the ministers because they got their basic pay from their congregation. So they didn't have to experience the threat of being fired because their living was paid for by their congregation. So you had a lot of ministers that was active in the movement then, young people, and a lot of people that was just brave people during the time, and mm-hmm. and were going to defy the segregation, the segregated structure, regardless.
Mm-hmm.
But there were many of us at night. I mean, after school, mm-hmm. we walked from one side of this city to the other, mm-hmm. trying to get to a movement meeting. And then, once the decision was made by Dr. King that it would be better to use children to take the movement to the next step. And I always remember that night because after the decision was made, and usually when we would go to the movement meeting, adults were the ones to sit down. Mm-hmm. Children stood up around the walls or in the balconies of the church. But on that particular night, Dr. King asked us to ask the adults, why don't you step back and let the children come forth? Because his message that night was to the children.
So you were present at that meeting?
That was at 16th Street Baptist Church.
Oh, yeah.
And we were always in the back, and I mean, a proud moment because here it is, Dr. King telling the grown people, step back and let the children come forth, because his message was for us. And he preached that night about our role, you know, and how it relates back to biblical times when things were hard. In many cases, children were used in order to propel the spiritual message that got out then. So that to me was a proud moment because after he finished talking to us that night, they divided us up according to where we lived. And I lived in North Birmingham, so they had selected. I lived in North Birmingham, plus I went to Carver High School. So the major schools to be that they could draw children from at that time was Carver High School on the north side, Parker High School in the center, Ullman High School on the south side. Then they pulled from children from Fairfield and surrounding cities, and Miles College is located in Fairfield, so the students came in from Miles College. That night he explained to us that the night before we were supposed to leave school, that we met at one of the churches close to the school, and we met at St. Luke AME Methodist Church, and during that particular meeting they gave us our signal. And at that time, I think Julian Bond was a young man that was probably at Howard University at that time, and several others was out, and they explained to us when the people on the backside of the school saw these people out on the campus, you know that that's going to be the signal for you to get your classmates and leave school. Many of your teachers, you know, they were threatened also by the board. So in many cases, the teachers would even open up a book and start reading. I don't see what's going on. And we quietly got up, left the school, proceeded to downtown Birmingham. And mind you, it was already determined that some children would be arrested. And that was already decided that some would be arrested, some would just keep the marches going. So once we left school and got downtown Birmingham, during that time, they told us the students from Parker High School wouldn't leave. And you have to understand what was happening with Parker High School, because that was where most of the elitist children went to school. So then I think they had somewhat second thoughts, because if they were identified as marching, then what will happen to their parents who were the teachers and the business professional people in the city. So they divided us up at that point and asked us to, some children to go to Parker High School because the adults knew they couldn't go in. Mm-hmm. But the children could go in and rally them to come on out, which we did. Some went to Parker, some proceeded on to 16th Street Baptist Church to start the marches. Mm-hmm. And they had a list of all the children that would potentially be arrested once we got to the park. Some of us, only thing we did every day was go and keep the marches going. People like my brother got arrested two or three times.
Really? What's his name?
His name was Rayfield Moore.
Oh yeah.
And several members of our football team, my brother Rayfield, Clarence Bird, and there was another young man that was killed during the Vietnam, and killed, and I always could see his face, never can remember his name, but I know he was one of the football players because most of them had committed that they would be arrested. And part of the thing that they were looking at is that you needed enough young men to be arrested because there was uncertainty as to what would happen to the young ladies.
Yeah.
So they were going in for a twofold purpose, because of the movement and also to look out for the young ladies once they were arrested, because they herded them all on buses and herded them to various places in the city. It's still called the fairground, where they housed a lot of the children. Mm. So that was doing 63, and we got through that phase and went on eventually to integrate the schools. And later on, after I finished high school in 66, they more or less stepped up the integration process after then, because like my younger brothers, they decided that even though they had been zoned for Carver High School for years, but we live close to Phillips High School, so many of the children will have to go to Phillips. Then when it got to the point that some children didn't want to go, they started giving children options.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ones that want to go can, the ones that don't want to go, you can go back to whichever high school you normally would have attended.
You graduated from Carver in 66.
66.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm. And were you ever arrested?
Never arrested, thank God. My mother always had told us we could march as long as we wanted to, me and my sister. But because of her lack of trust of the law enforcement at that point in time, she told us we could march all day. My brother could be arrested because he was a boy.
Yeah.
But she just was never certain as to what could possibly happen to a young lady.
Sure.
So we marched and marched and marched and marched every day, just like we were going to work, until the marches were called off. Every day we got up, went to the church, got out there and marched, ran from the policeman, look around the corner to see if we see Bull Connor in his white tank. Mm-hmm. Once we could get past and zoom back into the park, we go. When the police start chasing us, we run them and run to some place of safety to hide out. Once they would give up, we would come out, run right back into the park again. So, you know, it was a lot. And the thing is to have lived through that time, during the time when they put the dogs on children and to know your friends. I met a young lady while I was campaigning. I met a lady this year, and she was telling me, she said, yeah, I was in that park, and she was hit by the hose in her chest. And she said, I never recovered because the pressure of that hose on my chest has resulted in a lot of medical problems. So, you know, it was a dangerous time, but I could see where Dr. King was coming from, because at that point, and it is like today, children think they're going to live forever. Nothing can hurt us because we're children. We're strong. We've been promised life. So, you know, we're fearless.
Right.
So, and I think that if it had not happened like that, some of the changes that occurred in this country and even around the world would not have taken place if it had not been for children.
I'm sure your parents must have been really worried about you during this time. What did they do?
I think most parents during that time, and you have to realize the black community during those days, highly religious, and their thought process was that God was going to protect us anyway. and that we were doing something that was to help everybody. And they felt certain at the end of the day, we were going to return home and get up another day and start all over again. So I don't think the fear was there even with parents.
Yeah.
Because with them and their religious background, this is something that had been ordained by God to be done, and Dr. King was his messenger to get it done. And if Dr. King said, this is the way we'll have to do it through peaceful protest, then that was the way it was going to be. No parent thought that their child was going to go out and be hurt. And even when they bought out the dogs and the hose pipes, it still didn't affect them that way.
Yeah.
Because through them, they believe we'll continue to pray. And this is what we've got to go.